Okay, so here's the plan for the year, okay? In Agadata, we do two things, okay? The first few weeks, as I mentioned to some of you, we will be doing an introduction to what is Agadata, what's the balance between Agada and Halakha, is Agadata literal, is it not, does it depend on the type of Agadata, how do you study Agadata, different methodologies, both metaphorical reads, coded reads, mystical reads, rational reads, modern literary reads, right? We will do sort of the overview of different issues in Agadah. And then once we finish that, which takes a few weeks usually, we move to studying individual Agadah, and we do case studies from the Gemara that we are learning. Okay, I don't do random ones. Maybe po v'sham, like before a chag or something, I'll do an Agadah that's relevant to the chag. But in general, what we do are the Agadot in the Masechah that you're learning, because you probably didn't cover them in Iyun, and this way you cover parts of the Gemara that you otherwise didn't see, and you take them seriously, okay?
What about
Masechah? No, like the Masechah you're learning in Iyun is what?
I think we're doing different stuff.
You guys you're in Rishmol David?
I'm Shay.
Rishmol David, Shay. Yeah, so you're doing Yoma, but in general you'll be doing Pesachim. So Pesachim is the Yeshiva Masechah, so we'll be doing that. Yes, I know he's doing Chagim stuff until Chagim, but okay, whatever. Pesachim fundamentally is the Yeshiva Masechet, so that's what we're doing. I know that those who are learning Bikius, which Bikius is doing Makos? Which one is doing that? The afternoons, not the night.
Yeah.
That's Pesachim. Okay. So probably we'll stick to Pesachim, but we'll see. We'll see. Josh is not here. Wait, is Josh here? Josh is not here, right? No, he came last year.
I think he said he wasn't going to come for the first week.
No, that makes sense. But I know what he's already going to want to do in Pesachim, right? At the end of Pesachim, with all the weird demon-y stuff, and I know he's going to want to do that, and the Zugot, I know he's going to want to do that. He always likes doing that. We'll do that. We'll do whatever we didn't do last year, I guess. Right? Because last year we spent a lot of time on that. Who took me up on my reading list for that? I think just Zach, right? Just Zach. Yeah, so the demon ones, we spent like 2 or 3 weeks, and I said I was just going to give an overview of like all the different ways of thinking about it and the different ways that it's used in Joss. And anyone who wanted my reading stuff, I gave it to them, but it was over 1,000 pages, right? It was like, right, yeah. So probably Zach. Mistama. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is try to understand. So if you read Joss, okay, much of it is halachic, much of it is agadic, but, right, Rosh Hashanah, I think once said it's about a seventh agadic, but it really depends on what you count as agadata, and we'll see that. There are different things count as agadah.
So Shas is the
Talmud. Yes, Shishas Darim. And at some point, someone asked me, we will do this last year because we were learning Shviat. We did a decent amount of comparative readings of agadata in Bavli and Yerushalmi. We will do a little bit of that this year because there are some nice ones, specifically from Pesachim, where you have an Agadata that appears differently in the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Also, luckily, Yafa Zilcha came out with Volume 2 of her comparison of Bavli Yerushalmi on Moed. What? Right, but we used it a little bit last year, at the beginning of the year. A few of the Shirim we did were from her book on Zrayim. Now she came out with Moed last summer. This summer? I have it now. I don't know. I bought it when it was like 13 shekel or something. It was great. Good. Herzog, which is the teaching college next to Gush, on Yom HaTzmaut, they have this sale on their Svarim, and the percent off is whatever year Israel is, so last year was 74% off. So it's like, it's a really good, I'm just waiting for
2016. What are they going to do 101? They're going to pay you to take the
job. Really good. So when things are 74% off, I break my rule.
What's your rule?
Or it doesn't let me buy books because my house is overflowing with books. So this year, my birthday present was that I was allowed to buy myself books. So I bought 13 books if I'm already going to do it, you know. Which, of course, I don't have room for.
What was the reaction?
It was my birthday present. Anyways, fine. So the first thing we're going to do, though, is what is the balance between these, right? Between Agadah and Halakha. Because some people have this idea that they are very, very, very different disciplines. But I want to show you, Zen the Gemara, the question, the relationship between them, and the hierarchy, which is more important, is very complicated. Okay? So, no, I can't. Because that's going to be part of the problem. Not because I don't want to tell you, but because if I told you now, it wouldn't help. right? For now, Agadah is non-halachic texts. No, non-halachic texts. Agadah can be much more inclusive. It can be stories, but it can also mean it can be aphorisms. It can be philosophical ruminations. It can be all types of fascinating things. It can be dreams. It can be whatever, right? It can be all types of wonderful things in the Gemara. So what is the balance between halacha and agadah? Which is more important? How do you even balance them? So let's see. So if you look at number one, there's always the beginning of the year when I'm nice and I give you translation. Yativra doesn't last long. Yativ Rabbi Ami Vari Asi Kamedi Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Okay, Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi sat before Rabbi Yitzchak. Nafka. Mar Amarle Lema Mar Shmaita. So one of them said, presumably Ezra, I don't know, said, let's learn halacha, let's learn lamdus, let's learn Gemara. Umar Amarle. And who wants to be the one who advocates Agadah? Because they don't want to hear more. Okay, Mordechai, sure. Right? Says, Lemamar Agadata. Say an Agadata. So, Patach Lemamar Agadata. So, he started teaching Agadata, and you got Ezra. Velo Shavik Mar. He didn't let him talk. Right? Yeah. So, I started giving it, and Ezra started yelling at me. Right? Right? So, Patach Lemamar Shmaita. So, he started saying Halacha, Mordechai and Yidu. Velo Shavik. Lo Shavik Mar. So, Amr Lachem. So Omer Lachem, Emshal Lachem Mashal. He said, okay, guys, calm down. I have a mashal for you. What is going on here? Lema davar domeh. La'adam sheyesh bo shtei nashim. It's like a person who has two wives. Achad yalda, va'achad skena. One is old, and one is young. Yalda, the young one, says, oh, I need a young husband. So, milaketet, milaketet lo lifanot. When she sees white hairs, she starts pulling them out, so he looks younger. Zkeina says, I can't be married to someone who looks younger than me. Milaket lo shcharot, says, he pulls out the black hairs. Nimsa kireach mikan, mikireach mikan. So it's twice bald, right? Oh, that's what you're doing to me. So Amar Lehen, he said, but I have a solution. Ihachi lemelchu milta deshavya lechavaych. Let me teach you something that will work for both of you. Kiteitze eish. Umatza etim, umatza kotzim, teitze me'atzma, shalem yishalem hamavir et ha-be'era. Right, so the halacha is that if you kindle a fire, you pay compensation, which means that only if, the Gemara is medayek, only if it was because of your negligence. And he says, that's the halachic statement. And Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Alai l'shalem eda be'era shehiv arti. Right? So if it was, right, not, so then he wouldn't be liable. So God says, so now he says, what's the mashal? What does this teach you? That God says, I have to pay for what burnt. Ani tzati esh b'tzion. Sorry, go back. If you, it was your negligence, you have to pay for the fire. Therefore, God says, I burnt down what? The Beit HaMikdash. Right? B'tzion. Shne'emar. And therefore God says, what's the halacha? I have to pay it back. V'ani atid livnota b'esh. Shne'emar v'ani ehye lachomar esh saviv ulechavod ehye b'tochaz. The pasuk says, I will be a wall of fire around it, and I will be the glory in her midst. Okay, so if I ask you here, what is the relationship between halacha and agadah? Is one more important? Are they equal? What's the story? Well, let's be very careful in this story. Are halacha and agadah related or separate disciplines? Separate. How do I know? Well, okay, from this story, how do I know that they're presented as distinct from each other? Right, so first there's the first half of the story where they're clearly distinct enough in the common perception such that when he starts talking halacha, the one who wants to hear agadah says, no! And the one who, when he starts talking out, the one who sends halacha says, well, what is this bitl toira lomdus? Right? That's one. And what's the second one? Clearly, in the mashal, what is the mashal? Right? Two wives who have mutually exclusive goals. Right? The old one wants her husband to look old. The young one wants her husband to look young. Right? So they start tearing out all his hair. Right? Agav, Asar Midaraita, not important, right? Right? The white hairs, at least. Right? Because you're doing it, because it's Begadisha, because you should do it. Yeah. Right, so if you look at this very nice summary from Rabbi Dr. Shoshan, he makes the point. In this story, Halacha and Agada are portrayed as two warring wives of the same man. I'm going to come back to your point, Rudy, in a minute. Don't worry. Each one seeks to remake the man in their own opposing images. The young wife seeks to make the man look young by removing his white hairs, while the old wife seeks to make the man look old by removing his black hairs. In the end, the man is left with no hair at all. Halacha and Agada in this story are presented as two equal and opposing forces. Agada. Now, so far we're good. What else do we learn from this story about Halacha and Agada? Right, so far they're equal, right? First of all, in this story we find out that they're distinct disciplines. They are equal. Is there any implication that they're not? No, right? there doesn't seem to be any preference between the students or in the mashal, right? And what's the third point? What is the nature? Now let's talk about the nature of these distinct disciplines. What can we tease out anything about the nature about Halacha and Agada? Okay, maybe. Maybe they make up the whole corpus. I mean, maybe he has a third wife. I don't know. Right? But fine.
Well,
what's he going to make up? What? You never want to know the answer to that question, okay? I don't know what it is, but it can't be good. Okay. You can use your imagination. Or get Dovi. He'll use his imagination. Dovi knows it. What exactly to say that will make any conversation I'm having as awkward as possible, right? This is our very unique relationship. But what do we get from the mashal itself? Okay, fine, but so if you didn't know what Dr. Shoshan says, he says, what does it see? Okay, it's two wives, but we give them, right? We could have just said two wives, but instead we give them very particular descriptions. And what do we do?
Well, no, because it's
what?
It's necessary for the mashal, because
okay,
if
but
they...
which? But which one? What? What is the description? If you want to take it seriously,
one of them is old.
Which one's old? Which one's young? Right. So it sounds like halacha is old, and I got that he's young, right? Which implies that. Now, what does that imply? So you could say, as Dr. Shoshan says, that Halacha is identified with the sagacity of the elder statesman, right? As opposed to Agada, which is identified with the vigor of youth, right? And he suggests, because maybe Agada is viewed as creative and daring, while Halacha is rigorous, right? Now, look, there is something, I mean... Right, so this isn't necessarily the case, right? Meaning, you know, you could think about this, and some of this is true, right? Like little kids, you don't necessarily do lamdos, but you tell them the wild midrashim and things like that, right? But not necessarily, right? When people are young, that's when they're most fiery in halacha. And like, we all know that like sometimes, you know, in shul, like the older crowd sometimes, give me a nice drasha and, right? Meaning it's not absolute, right? But the Gemara does seem to identify halacha as having different characteristics, and they also seem to vie, right? You know, they vie for the student's attention, appealing to different aspects of his personality, right? They seem to be distinct in terms of how we experience them, in terms of our ability to give attention to them equally. And then he adds, right, continuing in the mashal, if this conflict remains unresolved, the student runs the risk of becoming intellectually and spiritually paralyzed. Right, there's also right a hidden danger here. Right, mastering either discipline.
Judaism.
What?
More Judaism.
Yes, right. Meaning, if you can't figure it out, right, it's not the mashal that's given is not a man with two harmonious wives. Right, one who says, "Oh, I'll do all the cooking," the other says, "Oh, I'll do all the cleaning," and we will get along, and we're best of friends, and right, maybe because you know halacha never believes that, because you know what is the name for a co-wife in halacha? A tzara, right? One who causes distress, right? Halacha is not exactly rosy about polygamy, right? We allow it and we tell you, good luck, right? Behatzlacha rabba. What? Yeah, exactly. Good luck with your tzarot, right? And tzarot, and tzarot, and tzarot, you know, and so forth. Now, that's in the Hava Amina, right? So the Hava Amina. That's in the Mashal. Okay? If I stopped at that Mashal, so what would I derive? that halacha and agada are different disciplines. They appeal to different parts of her personality. They have different qualities, right? And you need to somehow balance them because otherwise you will be left bereft of anything, right? Except what calls this into question? What calls this neat dichotomy into question? The end. Very good. Because in the end, after presenting them as if these were two completely distinct disciplines, he answers with a halachic statement that immediately leads into a non-halachic theological statement about God's responsibility for the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So, the story also offers a resolution to this conflict in the form of Yitzchak's brief sermon. This is not the place to explicate the technical intricacies of Rav Isaac's teaching. For our purposes, Rav Isaac makes it clear that a conflict between halacha and agada is not inevitable or desirable, and that it is possible to give each its due. This is true because just as both Rav Yitzchak's halachic and his agadic teaching emerge from the same biblical verse, so too all halacha and agada spring from the same divine source. Right? So the last stage in the Gemara implies that this is not as clear as it seems. Now, he takes it in one way, which is they both spring from the same source. Rudy took it a different one, which is maybe Agada emerges from Halacha, maybe Halacha emerges from Agada, right? Maybe it's not just they come from the same source, but in a certain sense they are interconnected disciplines, and we will see that, right, in a little bit, right? So they could be that you take this farther than saying they come from the same source, they're both important, but maybe they're actually not fully distinct disciplines. Yes, I sir.
Another interesting thing about Moshe is that each wife is like removing what they don't like. It's not like they're putting in something they like. So I don't know how that relates in the Nimshel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so the question is it a halakha and agada, or is it the students who want halakha and agada who are tearing him apart? Right? What? Right, which it could be that this is, you know, both about halakha and agada and about his annoying students who are tearing at it, right? It's a twist on you're making me tear my hair out. Is you are tearing my hair out, right? Okay. But in this story, halacha and agada are either equal, right, intertwined, right, but they are not presented as any hierarchy, right? There is this tension. They're both different. They have their benefits, whatever. And then, yes, in the earlier part of the story, they seem distinct, and then that distinctiveness or that separateness is called into question in the latter half of the story, okay? Look at number three. What about the following Gemara in Sota? The Gemara, you tell me what this tells you, what I got to tell. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo ve Rabbi Chia bar Abba iklu luhu atra. Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Chia visited a place. Okay? Rabbi Avo darish be'agadita. Rabbi Avo gave agadita shir. Rabbi Chia bar Abba, this would work better for my Wasserman was currently giving halacha, right? Because then it'd be like, oh, look, there are more people in Agada than there are in Halacha. Oh, that's what happens here. But no, it's Breshit, so I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. Reb Chia bar Abba, Darash Bishmaita, Reb Chia bar Abba taught Halacha. Predictably, what happened? Shavkuhu kulei amal Reb Chia bar Abba v'az l'gemed Reb Yavo. So everyone left the Gemara shir. And they said, oh, this is a great Agadata, exciting stories, wonderful. What? That's what happens. Yes, I think so. I think so. Yeah, for most people. I think most people, didn't say everybody. Right? There's always Ezra who says, there was always, I was like this in Rambam also, right? Like someone would always try to get Rav Friedman on like a tangent. And I'd be like, Rebbe, we have covered three lines in Gemara. And everyone else is like, no, this is interesting. Right? Always. Yeah, okay. Not surprising. To be fair, I was like that in Rav Friedman. I was also like that in his father's class. Right? Like I did the same thing. Right? I was that person always, you know. Shocking.
So, Chalash Daite. So Rabbi Chia was upset. He felt depressed. I mean, everyone left my shir. I'm left with nobody. You know, the one, two guys in shir. Where'd everybody go? So to make him feel better, what did he say? Amar lei. So the Baal Agadata, how does he know how to make him feel better? He tells him a story. Right? Very good. Right? I have a story for you. I have a mashal for you. What is this like?
The Shnei Bnei Adam, two people. Echad Mocher Avanim Tovot, one sells jewels. The Echad Mocher Minei Sidkit. And the other one sells, what's Sidkit? What does it sound like in Yiddish, which I don't think is the same etymology? What? Thank you. Tchotchkes, right? That's what it is, right? He sells knickknacks, he sells whatever, right? He says, listen, right? Who gets more customers? The person who sells costume jewelry, right? Or the person who sells blue diamonds, okay? Right, blue diamonds, a natural blue diamond is something like $1 million each, right? Like, who gets more customers? Right, I mean, you know, who can afford it? Yeah, right? So he says, Almi Kovtzin, who do people jump at? Lol Zesha Mocher Mini Sidki. Isn't it the people who sell cheaper things? So what's he trying to tell him? What? I got it this cheap. Exactly. He said, listen, you know why they want it? Because people, it's easier, it's more fun. It's not as valuable. I mean, we all know it's a feel good. This is feel good, light stuff. So of course they want to come. That's not a chisaron in you. It's a chisaron in them, right? He said, I happen to be good at sharing, you know, whatever, right? What? Exactly, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, what you have, what's worth more, right? He's saying what you have is worth more, but people can't afford it.
So it's for the masses. Right. I got it for the masses.
Exactly, right? So here he's saying, listen, I got it for the masses. Said you feel good, right? It's like that. This is an old movie, right? It was old when I was kid, right? Like, right? Goodwill Hunting, right? Whoever saw Goodwill Hunting? Okay, some of you saw Goodwill Hunting. Okay, you know what Goodwill Hunting's about?
Yeah.
Come on, it's like a classic. What? Half. You have, right? It's classic. Right, so what is Goodwill Hunting about? Moshe, what's it about?
It's a janitor at MIT.
It turns out to be a super math genius. He's smarter than all the professors, right? So there's one scene at which, like, he really gets into a fight with this professor who's guiding him. And he says, what does he get so angry about? Right, the professor wants to go to the school, wants to continue. He doesn't want to. And he says, what's the problem? You are so advanced that there are very few people in the world who even understand how much smarter you are than me, right? Because to realize how good you are, you need to be, right? The people who even understand what you're doing, forget, could do it, right? Have to be here, right? And I'm upset because you, right? The difference between you and me is so great, but no one even realizes it, right? Like, he's saying, listen, there's certain things, they're just, people don't get it, right? They don't get it. So I got it, Shavuot L'chol Nefesh, everyone gets it. So, you know, I mean, take an easy example, okay? Right? Forget this. Forget like complicated lambda, whatever. Where are there more people in an average shul, right? On Shabbos morning at the drasha, or at Daf Yomi,
or at the Kiddush Club,
or at the Kiddush Club, right? At the drasha, right? The drasha is meant to be Shabbat Chol Nefesh. That's what it is, right? And Daf Yomi is a little bit harder, like whatever, and you know. People come, right? In Kal Vachomer, if, you know, right? Kal Vachomer, you have a once a week shir where the rabbi is, you know, teaching whatever. He's giving a smichas chaver shir, right? If you have it in your community, right? You know, he's giving people smicha, right? They're learning all the smicha material. They have bechinot, or they have tests on it. How many people are showing up, right? People are showing up. It's very nice, right? But it's not packed. I mean, what's packed for that? 10, 15, 20, right? If you're really lucky in a big shul, right? But that's how things are. So, kol yom evim alav rebchia bar abba lor biyavo adu shpuze mishum yakra dve kesar o yom evim yavo lor rebchia bar abba adu shpuze mevilachi lo itay dv dayin imine. So every day, it used to be that rebchia would escort Rabbi Avahu, right? Because he was affiliated with the royal family, so out of honor. And that day, to try to calm him down, right, Rabbi Avahu escorted Rabbi Chiya, but it didn't work. Okay, he was still upset. He didn't buy it. Okay, this story. What is the balance between Halacha and Agada? How's it presented?
Since Agada is more for less, like, it's less difficult, but it's less important.
Yeah, right, it's less difficult, less important, and therefore more accessible and more liked, but it's less valuable.
Well, Reb Chiya seems to disagree.
What?
Reb Chiya seems to disagree.
Well, Reb Chiya is still upset.
He's the one giving the
right? Mark. Right, he's still upset. I mean, what does it mean he's still upset? Is it that he thinks they're equal, and therefore he just... Does he think that he gives such a good Gemara shear that it's shavah l'chol nefesh? I mean,
he doesn't think it's totally correct.
He gave a shear that nobody shows up to. It's
fine. Yeah, he's upset. I mean, whatever. You know, look, it's a sad look. It's a sad reality. In the end of the day, forget content. If you're giving a shear, just know if you write on the shul announcement, shear on Bava Mitzia Perek Gimel. Right? She's not getting any. Like, you're going to get, like, three people. It's just how it works. Right? Even, like, to even get anyone, you have to, like, be creative. This is one of my least favorite parts of the job, is coming up with creative titles. Right? It's like you have... But it's part of the job. Right? It's part of the job. Right? I think it was... What? Masterclass? Mishmar? No. Oh. So right. So when I was in I think it was Rabbi Lamb said this to Rav Khan. I think that's what it was, but I could be wrong. But they like telling the story around YU that Rav Khan was giving a guest cheer somewhere on like Brisker methodology, and he named it something like methodological considerations in the analytic study of, you know, something like that. And shocking, nobody showed up. So this year, he was really upset, right? And he said this to Rabbi Lamb, and Rabbi Lamb, who was a master orator, right? He's like, you understand, you got to give things good titles. No one's showing up. He's like, well, what would you have called it, right? This is, and apparently Rabbi Lamb, without blinking, was like, brisk, more than iced tea, right? Right? Like, right, you know. Of course, you have to be careful. I have one, like, one of my Rebbeim is so good at titles that I once heard from someone, like, the problem with his titles, they're so good, it's almost impossible to give a shear that lives up to the title, right? Like, right, it's clickbait, right? It's very, very hard, right? But in this Gemara, it seems very clear that, A, again, there are two disciplines, right? Separate disciplines, but halacha is above, right? But next, look at the next sources. Sifrei. What's the Sifrei? Tanaitic Midrash Halacha. Dorshei Rishumot Omrim, right? The expounders of metaphor say, Ritzoncha shetakir misha amar v'haya olam. You want to know God? Limod Hagada. Learn the Agadah. This is number four. Do you not have it? It's double-sided. Yeah, sorry. Limod Hagada. I have the single-sided from which I copy things, but yeah. Limod Hagada. Learn Agadah. Because by learning Agadah, you come to know God and cling to His ways.
This is
Haggadah.
Is that
a what?
Is Haggadah.
Haggadah is Haggadah. It's just different spelling. Sometimes you'll see it as Haggadah, sometimes Haggadah. Yes. No. Or Vayikarabah, number five. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, Shaul Rabbi Shimon bar Nachman. Bishvil sheshamati alecha sha'at sha'ata baal Haggadah. Since I've heard that you are an agadic person, an expert agadist. Mehechan ora yotza l'olam. From where does light come into the world? Amar lo nit'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kesimla v'hik kol olam kulo miziv hadaro. Amar lo belichisha. Right? This is an example. And he says, light comes from God's garment, whatever it means. And he says it in a whisper, so I say it in a whisper. Right? So you see, right? You're a Baal Agadah, tell me, spits of the universe. In this one, what's the high? Are they separate disciplines? Me'achos. Which is higher? Agadah. Okay, so now we have three Gemaras. One says?
Equal.
Well, equal, opposite, may be synthesized, right? Habamina Maskana or whatever, beginning, end of the Agadah. One says, halacha, now, halacha is diamonds and Agadah is chachkas, and the other one says, you want to know God? Agadata. Okay, so what do we do? What is the relationship between these two disciplines? Yes,
maybe they're different categories of Agadata.
Oh, good. So, hold that. So first of all, you could, if you wanted to, sort of like solve it nukudati, Right? Right? Right. You could say, no, he didn't mean that halacha is more important than Agada. He was just trying to make him feel better, but he knew he wasn't really saying the truth. He was making him feel better, so it didn't make him feel better. But really, they're equal or real, right? You could start, you know, being miyashiv stirot, and, you know, this would be like very Rabbeinu Tam. Tre, right? Like, right? Or you could say, okay, wait. As we said, now coming back to Rudy's question, because Rudy said, wait, I don't get it. What is Agadata? Well, the answer is, what is Agadata? Well, it's a lot of things, right? Agadata means one thing. Non-halachic text. That's it. Wow, okay. It's not obviously halachic text, okay? But what is it? Right? So, there are different things. So, let's see, Ezra. Which one do you want to explain? Take the last ones. What type of Agadata gets to go in the category of, if you learn Agadata, you will know God? Yeah, right? If you're a good Maimonidean, you'll tell me what is up. It's obvious, right? Because what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that there's Dvarim, Davar Gadol, and Davar Katan. Right? There's big things and small things, important things and less important things. And the Gemara, and the Rambam famously says, what is Davar Katan? Havayo Dabaya Varava. The small things is Machloka Dabaya Rava is Halacha. And Davar Gadol Katan. What's Davar Gadol? Masa Markova Masa Breshit. Right? Is it? Nope. Right? The Rambam says no. The top of the hierarchy is philosophy. Right? Masa Merkava, which is what?
Just take it as actual things.
Good. So what is Masa Merkava for the Rambam? No, Maaseh Merkava, metaphysics, more or less, right? What is Maaseh Breishit? Physics, natural sciences, right? More or less. Okay, you'll get to it, but it's not for now. You'll do it in philosophy, you'll do it in Rambam Yomi, you'll get to it. After you know all of Shas and Prosim, right? But fundamentally, so one possibility is, listen, there's some philosophy that's up at the, there's some Agadata that's all the way at the top, the most important things, and that is metaphysics. Now, that makes a lot of sense if you look at the Sifrei, because what is the Sifrei? What type of Agadata is the Sifrei talking about that is at the top? What? Yeah, the things that if you learn them, you will know God, right? It seems to be putting things in the category that are, you know, knowing God, that Pshuto Kimashmo, metaphysics, right? Understanding God, understanding the nature of the world. Those are big things. Those are the most important things, right? Correct, right? So then, what type of Agadata might be pachot, right? Less important? So different types of stories, right? We could take extremes, right? You want an extreme? We'll see this a little bit later in Ravram ben Arambam. But sometimes things in the Gemara, Agadatas in the Gemara, everyone agrees they're not important. Oh, shocking. Like what? So for example, right? The Gemara says, probably the most classic example is that all the people were sleeping in shir. Never happens. No, never happens. Rahmana Litan never happens, right? But what happens? Rabbi Kiva says, yeah, he just says something outrageous. He says, why did Esther merit to be the queen over 127 provinces? Because she was descended from Sarah, who lived 127 years. And everyone jumps up. Oh, it's crazy. The Gemara says, why did he say it? To wake everybody up, right? What? We'll see it inside in Rabbah and Rabbah, right? So then in the middle of those Megillah discussions, right? Yeah. What?
Is that real?
Yeah.
The story
is real. Yes. It is, right? So you can say, look, there's Agadata, which is like metaphysics, and then there's Agadata, that's whatever, that's like not even serious, right? And then there are things that you got to wonder, right? So what type of Agadata would you say is equal? I don't know, right? Meaning, so what else is Agadata? As we'll see, Agadata can be Parshanut HaMikra, right? Can be interpretation of Psukim, right? Understanding the stories. Sometimes Agadata is teaching you ethical lessons, right? That type of thing you could see is equal and opposite, right? Understanding Torah, understanding ethics, maybe Tamei HaMitzvot, right? Which is the sister to Mitzvot, right? You could see how that's like an equal discipline, right? So probably the simplest way, as Ezra notes, is to say that, listen, you can't just batch it all together and say, oh, which is more important, halacha and agada? Halacha has different types of halacha.
and Agadah is different types of Agadah. Agadah just means non-halachic texts, and different things are different, right? Some are, right, sometimes it's metaphysics, sometimes it's parshanut demikra, sometimes it's jokes, right? Sometimes it's... It's jokes!
Really?
Yes! Why not? Chazal, right? The Gemara has jokes, right? Jokes, they're jokes. They're what they are. They're funny. I don't know. They're supposed to be funny, right?
Seriously?
That is pretty funny.
No, not seriously.
Well, I don't want to bring it. Yes,
I know,
seriously.
But like...
Yes, they're jokes. Whatever. The truth is that one of them is the first parak of Sakhim, so maybe we'll spend time on it. If we hold in the
video. Please.
Right? What?
I said please.
The very well-known pun. Right? I mean, we'll see that one, okay? That's definitely in Sakhim, whether we get to the whole topic. Right? But the, I guess we should. Right? But the Gemara in the first parak has a little bit of discussion for those who are going to do the first parak. Right? I mentioned this to guys in my shir, that what happens? Right? The Gemara says that do you have to be worried that a weasel who you saw taking food hid it away? And Gemara suggests at some point, well, if the weasel takes the food on the 13th of Nisan, then you know that it ate it because he knows that it's another day to find food. But if it gets on the first thing that it needs on, so then it hid it away. And then the Gemara says, right, the chichulda nevi'ei, right, is the chulda a prophet? Tith, prophetess, right? And that's only funny if you know that chulda is a prophetess, right? That she's a prophetess in Tanakh, right? That she's one of the few female prophets and her name is chulda. Right, so the answer is yes, she is. I mean, this one isn't, right? It's a pun. That's what it is. Is it funny? Okay, it's funny. I don't know. Right? I understand. Rabbi humor is not always funny. I get it. I know. Yes, I was also a Talmud of Lichtenstein, and, you know, his jokes... No, this was famous. No, look. Lichtenstein's sense of humor was brilliant. What he would do on, like, Purim night is he would give... Like an hour-long lumdus shir, but none of it was serious. And, like, you didn't know exactly what it was. And, like, all types of hakiras and, like, I don't know, made-up gemaras. I mean, like, it was hard to follow because it was, like, a shir klali. It was just, I mean, and, like, there were, like, three people who were, like, cracking up. And everyone else was, like, I think I lost him, like, half an hour ago. And at some point, we're all, like, is it just us? I mean, like, are we just not smart enough? And then at some point, one of the years I was in yeshiva, Rav Amital, who was, you know, the founding Rosh Yeshiva, walked over to Rav Lichtenstein, right, in the middle of the shir, takes the microphone away from him, and he says, "Harav Lichtenstein, ze Purim ukvar sha'a nir'e kemo tisha be'av," right, and just walks out and slams the door. What? Sorry, it's Purim, and for the last hour, it looks like it's Tisha B'av, right? And he walks out and he slams the door, and Rav Lichtenstein gives him a smile and continues with shir, right? So, like, you know, right? Okay, you know, like, it's a very acquired type of humor, you know. You know, look, I mean, there's an apocryphal story, which I don't know if it's true, in, like, Volozhin or something, where the Rosh Yeshiva would always give Purim Torah. So one year he gives a whole very, very in-depth, you know, Stira and Rambams, and, oh, it's fake dinim, and whatever. And everyone is just staring, what's going on? And one guy is cracking up, and afterwards, they're like, right, there's a famous story. Right, what's so funny? There's no such Rambam. Okay, right, like, right, so like, right, rabbi jokes are not always good, I understand. At this point, I'm not even sure anymore, like, what's funny or not, right? There's that point where you've been in it too long, right? There was that point, like, when I was, like, 20 that I probably still knew. But like as Ellie realized before, wait, you were in Shunabet when I was 3? Yeah, I've been doing this full-time learning thing for a while. I don't know anymore. I have no idea what's funny anymore, right? So, yeah. Oh, so here we don't really know, right? I mean, we don't really know, right? Meaning, it does seem pretty clear that the Agadah that's more important than Halacha, the simple pshat is like the Rambam, right? Meaning that we're talking there about metaphysics or whatever you want to put in there, because that's what he says, right? No God. Now again, is that rationalist metaphysics or is it mysticism or whatever it is? But the point is it's some sort of metaphysical speculation, right? What? No. The Rambam would obviously call it that, but I'm saying a Kabbalist would do the exact same thing and say, the Agadah that's more important than Halacha is that which lets you know God. What is that Kabbalah? I mean, right, it's not hard to get to that. It doesn't matter what you think that type of philosophizing looks like. But the point is that the type of philosophy which is about understanding God goes in the highest level.
Okay.
Right? There are certain things that I could tell you are probably in the lower level. What goes in the middle and is equal, I don't know. Again, Pashut the Mikra, Tamei HaMitzvot, I don't know. Right? Okay. But as we noted, in two of these three sources, Lamaskana, Halacha, and Agadah seem distinct. Right? But in the first one, the beginning of the story implies that these are distinct disciplines, but the resolution to the story, and there are other Gemara like this, implies that they're not fully distinct disciplines. Now this, I think, is very important. Okay? Because, and this is from the introduction to Price's work on Drushot, Imre Avram. Right? Price was a leading post in Toronto for many, 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 many years. Guys, at this point, Shana Bet guys have heard. Sometimes I'll quote him in Parsha, especially. But he was a very major posek in Toronto. He was born in 1900. He's a Talmud Yavnei Nezer, and he was a leader in the Toronto community from like the 1930s till he died in 1994, something like that. So he has a lot of halachic works. He wrote like a Minchas Chinuch esque Perush on the Smag and Sefer Chasidim, and he has a book of Chidush Aman Shas. But he also has two volumes of Agad of Drashot. And he notes that there's a simple reason why you might think that halacha and agadah are not that distinct. A very simple reason, and that is... look at the Gemara, right? Here we have a halacha, we have Iyun in the morning, and we have agadah, I give once every on Thursdays. But if someone was teaching Masechet al HaSeder, and he wanted to teach every single daf, right, there would be no such division, right? The beginning of, right, the first daf or two of Psachim would be the halacha to be called chametz, a discussion of night and day, discussion about when you travel, discussion about the story of Yosef and his brothers, mamachteret, right? Whether the importance of speaking nicely and why the Torah sometimes says tamei and sometimes it says lo tahor, right? And what's the best way of phrasing things, right? Like you would go seamlessly from halacha to agadata to parshanut mikra and then back and this, right? From the Gemara doesn't seem to have had a firm distinction because, you know, it didn't divide them, right? And that seems to, that seems to point to the fact that these disciplines are meant to be integrated, right? Not that they're not different in certain ways, but that they're not completely different, right? They are integrated to an extent. They shed light on each other, and also the line between them is not always clear, right? So if you look here in the Agadah of Imre Avram, he says, it's a little bit hard to read, so if you want, you can look at the English on the left side, which is my translation, which is also not great. I think there's a few typos in it. Hadarshanut haitam me'olam chilek chashuv ma'od b'savrut shel Torahtenu. Right? Homiletics, darshanut, has always been important in our Torah. V'itavsa makom nichbad b'beit midrasho shel Yisrael. It's a very important place in the Beit Midrash. B'pnei she ha... Bahadrash, maybe? Kavua Utsar Musari. Yeah. Bahadrash Kavua Utsar Musari Shel Torah Yisrael. Because in the Agadata, it's the ethical storage house of the Torah. Bahalo Halachot Vilimudehen Musabeur al Mitzvot Shabbat Torah. Shekolikaran in El Lashem Ashkaat Musari Utsar Adam. He said, what is the purpose of the mitzvot? Learning the mitzvot? It's to make us better people. That's what we do. Right? The Torah makes us better people. Uleitiv, ushaper deotehem, umaseyem, right? To improve our beliefs, our character traits, our actions, kimam aram. As Chazal said, v'chimai echpad lo lakadosh baruch hu ben shochet behema. V'ochel u'nocher v'ochel. Does God care? What difference does it make if you shecht an animal and eat it or you stab it and eat it? Klum ata mo'ilo, klum ata maziko. Does it hurt God or help? This is a quote from a Gemara. Umay echpad lo ben ochel. What does he care if you eat kosher or not? Then he quotes a pasuk. Im chachamta, chachamta lach. If you engaged in wisdom, it's for you. Right? You got wisdom for yourself. The Torah was given to purify people. Shne'emar. Imrot, Hashem, Imrot, Teharot. God's statements are pure. V'n emru, komer Hashem, trufa. The The ha'agada shehil musariyut atzma. So agadata is ethics itself. So what is he saying? Halacha, keeping the mitzvahs makes us better people. But what is agadata to? Contextualizes it and tells you what are the values that the Torah is aiming at. Right? So halacha is what to do, and doing those acts are supposed to make you better. Agadata is the contextualization, which explains the values that you're supposed to get out of it. Right? Something mirubā b'sifrotenu v'shir chachmei shal minyanimba lahafrota. Right, and therefore it makes sense that the Jews should, that the chachamim should be interested in to make it fruitful and flourish and improve. Right, I mean, what he says is, listen, in the end of the day, if you think that halacha is supposed to make you better, is supposed to aim at teaching you values, then the articulation of those values, which agadata definitely, at least part of agadata, is the articulation of the values, tamei mitzvot, is understanding parshanut b'mikra, the stories in Torah which provide context for the mitzvot, right? For any Robert Cover fans in philosophy of law, only one person even mildly acknowledged that he knew what that was. Robert Cover talks about the importance of narrative, narrative and law, narrative and law. Well, I'm talking specifically about narratives and law, right? But the importance of narrative in shaping law. And then he says, "Umidagdolav chashuvai lahavli dagada." And it's important to emphasize the Agadah, the ideas and ethics hidden in Halacha. I'm just gonna read my English translation because I really gotta recopy it. When they heard, and they made the halacha heard, they stamped and they had a halacha, ethics, common decency, and there's some laws that are entirely ethics and common decency. He says it's more than that. It's not just that the halacha and the agadah are mixed up in shas. It's more than that. Sometimes the halacha, the gemara goes out of its way to blur the line between them. So, for example, the gemara says, ha-mafkid ma'ot, etzel chaveiro, if someone gives money and trusts money to his friend, sararan if shilan la'chora, and he wraps them up and throws them behind him. Right? Osha masram livno levitok tanim. Or he gives it to his young kids. Vina'al bifneim shalokara ui chayav. Right? The Gemara Baba is talking about shomrim. Right? The laws of shomrim. What's the general rule in shomrim? In people who you entrust things for, guardians? If you do it the right way, you're not liable. If you do it right, negligently, you are liable. So the Gemara says, if you throw it, wrap it up and throw it behind you, give it to your kids, you are liable. And the Gemara says, why? So Rava says, well, the Torah says that it is in Ritzarta Kesef Biyodecha, that money should be wrapped up in your hands, that even though it's wrapped, it should be in your hands. And Rav Yitzchak therefore says, what do we learn from here? La'olam yeh kasbo shel adam matzui biyado. Should always keep your money in your hands. That's how it's safe. So he says, wait a second. The halacha, this whole halacha, what does the Gemara say? What does it come to teach us? Like common sense. Like, how do you protect your money? Don't take your wallet and hold it behind you where you can't see. Right? Hold it where you can see it. Right? It's like, right, put it in your side pocket, not in your back pocket. Right? This is what people actually say. Right? Because it's more likely to be stolen in your back pocket. Right? Right? But what is he pointing out? In this Gemara, he calls it a halacha. It's like the middle of, like, Nizikin, which is the hardest, and the Gemara says, what does this all teach you? That the best way to, like, hold your money is, like, in front, where you could see it. I mean, raising, like, Chazal go out of their way to blur the lines between halacha and common sense, right? And definitely when it comes to halacha and ethics, right, these things are intertwined, right?
Why did they intentionally do that?
So why would they intentionally do that? So they intentionally do it if what? If the disciplines are meant to influence each other, and they're not really distinct. Exactly. Right, so he argues essentially that b'shita, right, on principle, halacha, that the Gemara doesn't fully divide these disciplines because they're not, there isn't supposed to be a firm line, right? They might be different, but they contextualize each other, right? Or if you want to put it differently, if they were completely distinct, right? The Rambam makes this point in the Perush Mishnayot. People make the mistake of thinking that actions are divided into three categories, which are chova, asur, and rishut, right? Forbidden, obligatory, and neutral. But the Rambam says, no, you're missing two categories, and that is mishubach and miguneh, right? Praiseworthy, but not obligatory, and like bad, but not asur, right? Meaning, in Torah, we believe there's more than just you must do this, you must not do it. There's like, should do this, this makes sense, this is ethical, this is just, right? There's like a spectrum. And if you made this, the way to sort of make it clear that there is this spectrum is to say there are things that are normative that are not technically law, meaning they are instructive of how you're supposed to act, right? But they're not actually law, right? So to summarize what we've seen so far, right? Are halacha and agadah distinct? And if they are, what's the hierarchy? So we have three gemaras. All three of them and the sifrei, really, all imply that they're separate disciplines. In one, they seem to be equal, but distinct in the Havamina. In the Maskana, they're intertwined, but equal. In one Gemara, Agadata is presented as trinkets and less important. And in one, Agadata is the secret telling God. The simplest part, as Ezra said, there are different types of Agadata, right? There's Agadata, which is metaphysics. That's like all the way up there, Davar Gadol. There's Agadata, which is like jokes and, you know, keeping that's people so awake. Or I don't know what else goes in that category, but that's less important. And then there are the things that are equal, intertwined, somewhat distinct. And what goes there, I don't know. Right? Parshanut HaMikra, ethics, things like that. Rabbi Price adds to the discussion that maybe the fact that the Gemara doesn't fully separate the discipline and doesn't make it clear where the line is between these two is to highlight the point that they are conceptually intertwined as well. Because Agadata contextualizes the values between halacha. Right? Halacha, you keep halacha in order to instill certain values, and Agadata articulates them. So they are different, but they're not completely distinct. And he notes that in the Gemara, sometimes we actively go out of our way to confuse you, right? To make it clear that these are intertwined. Okay, last point for now, because I have 2 minutes left. I won't read it inside. But Reb Tzadok HaKohen makes a fascinating point that gets very often quoted in Agadata, Agadata context, which is that, right, what we've seen until now is that maybe Halacha and Agadata generally shed light on each other. Right? Reb Tzadok argues that it's more than that. Sometimes the placement of a particular Agadata sheds light on the halachic context, and the halachic context sheds light on that Agadata. And therefore, you're supposed to pay attention to where things are placed. And his classic example is that where do the main Churban Gemaras, the main discussion of the Churban Abayit, right, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, get placed in the Gemara? What Masechet? That you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, Gittin. And he says, why? Well, because of course it's there. Because in Yeshayahu and elsewhere, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, the relationship of God to the Jewish people is one of marriage, and therefore when the right Yeshayahu says to them, Ezek Kritu, right, Ezek Kritu, where's your divorce document? Right, the mashal, the metaphor of God and the Jewish people is one of marriage, and therefore Galut is that of divorce or possible divorce or misunderstood divorce. And then God says, no, we're not divorced. We have a Catholic marriage, right? But so he argues that why are the Churban Gemaras in Gittin? Because the mashal of the destruction plays into the relationship of God as the spouse of the Jewish people. And therefore the Churban was the divorce or the potential divorce, right? And therefore it's not just that halacha and agadata, like broadly speaking, are intertwined. It's that in the Gemara itself, the placement of Agadatas can shape the way we think about those halachot. And if you are interested in sort of a modern expositor of this, Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Brandis, who's the head of, I think the rector technically, but the head of the Teachers College at Gush, has written 2 volumes, I think, at this point, of a brilliant book where he goes through different case studies where the Agadah inside certain halachot sugyos, so like in the Kibbutz Av Eim sugyot, where the halachot, the stories are like embedded in to shape the Agadata, are actually meant to not just give you the values of the halacha, but actually help you understand the law and how it plays out in real life. So he wrote 2 volumes of the very brilliantly named Agada L'Maaseh, right? Right, playing obviously, what? Halacha L'Maaseh, Halacha L'Maaseh, so Agada L'Maaseh, if you want it in Yeshivish, but it's not, right? But Agada L'Maaseh, right, a practical Agada, right? Because Agada also has that power, especially when embedded in particular halachic sugyos, right? To not just sort of generically give us values, but to actually shape the way we understand a particular set of laws. Okay? So that's part one of Agadata on the relation between halacha and Agada. Next week we'll talk about are they authoritative and literal, and how do you deal with that? Okay, that's what we'll do next week, and then we'll go from there.